Welcome back to another edition of the Down and Back Cornhole Podcast. This week, a fantastic show for you. One guy I've been wanting to get on for a while. The other guy, got to meet him for the first time the other weekend at the Open in Niagara Falls and knew I had to have him on the show just the way that they communicated, played, and everything else we have. Jeremy Schemmerhorn, Joe Niestedt on the show this week. We have a lot of fun. We have one, we have both, we have one, now we have both again. Wait a couple minutes, you'll see. So we had the national number one come up down in Corpus Christi, Texas. Got to watch some of that. Got to watch the live feeds all weekend. And I know I kind of felt for the guys because I know the issues they were having, and a lot of people were really kind of hammering on them. I don't think it was all that warranted, just because there was Wi-Fi issues in the building. So when you had the Wi-Fi issues in the building, it's out of your control. Like I was fortunate enough to have my own Wi-Fi feed to myself. I think it was to myself and to Matt over at the vendors. So it was just him and I on that Wi-Fi. Even though we had a Muay Thai event going on one side of us, a dance competition on the other side where it was taking over the whole building Wi-Fi, we had a Wi-Fi connection just to ourselves. So we were good with that. And when that happens, it's out of your control. And you're not going to get everybody that you want to get doing commentating. But all in all, I think it was a great weekend. I then got to see the ESPN broadcast. And if anyone else seen on the Addicted to Cornhole, Nate Williams put up his now being called a Fish Tank Cornhole live streams, and yeah, you get to watch his fish tank, and in the background there might be some cornhole. Yeah, so thanks to Nate for that there. I know he then said that he actually watched some of the live feeds from Niagara, and yeah, so I will give him a shout out because he helped me watch the ESPN broadcast, and what a broadcast that was. I didn't get to see the first game, Burton Jr.'s game. Didn't get to see his first one. Got to see Jake Gore and Devin Harbaugh, and what a heartbreaker for Gore. I know I got to meet both kids and their mom back in last May when I was down at the race in Charlotte. There was Heath Jenkins had a tournament. They were there. Got to talk with them and some great kids off the board. So just a heartbreaking. I know I've been there, and it's just a tough way to lose it, but you know, kudos to Harbaugh coming back without his own bags, using Ryan Windsor's bags. Big comeback for him. Then get to see Burton Jr. and Chamberlain take down the people you will hear talk next here coming up. Schemmerhorn and Niestedt, and just a great game there. And then to see Burton Jr. kind of take down Harbaugh for the final in that there. So good weekend all in all for Mr. Burton Jr. because he I think Trey said it was like a $13,000 36 hours he had. Not too shabby. So there's that. That's south of the border. Quick little synopsis of that. Coming up here, we have coming up, not this weekend, coming up next weekend, you'll see me doing some more live feeds from the Central Canada, ACL Canada Central Conference. I'll get that right at some point. Was supposed to be in Bradford. The venue pulled the chute. Not too many people happy with that. We are now going to the Stroud Curling Club. Moondog Cornhole offered to help host it. And thank you to him. you'll be seeing some live feeds. Hopefully the cough will be gone by then because you had enough of it in Niagara. So we'll be going live on the Saturday and the Sunday. So Saturday for doubles, Sunday for singles. We are not going to do the blind draw on the Friday night, just because I'm not able to get up there on the Friday night because of a life stuff, other job. But yeah, so we'll be talking there, and a couple things put there. If you're going there, try to tell some people about the open. Due to family stuff, I'm not hugging it out. Even though you say, yeah, I'm going to, I'm not going to. Give the fist bump, because I have family that are in homes, and I need to be well to be able to go see them. So you see me there, give a fist bump. You go to give the hug, I'm just walking away. I'm not trying to be an ass, but just it's for a reason that I need to not be able to do that. And then as always with the conferences, because it happened to three of them last year. I didn't hear it happening at the first one, but let's just hope it doesn't happen again here. Help out the venue, buy the alcohol from them. Don't go outside, have parking lot beers, and then have the venue say, we're going to shut the bar down for everybody else. Okay? Rep the brand. Rep whatever brand you're repping. Be good. Help out the venue because we want to be able to come back. This is our second time going to Stroud. Let's keep that venue for big events and have them wanting us to come back. So patronize the venue is what I'm saying for that there. Other than that, there it should be a good weekend. That's it. We had the 1,000 follower contest on Facebook. Adam Beck, winner of the Hero Bags, he will be getting them hopefully next week. I will get them out to him. I'm doing a lot of pointing this week. For whenever I do put up on the audio, you won't see me doing it, but you're going to see me doing it here now. Yeah, so we got that, which means we're over that 1,000 followers. So once we get to the next 1,000, tell all your friends. We will do another contest. Then YouTube. You guys did it there as well. I think I'm up to 457 now, 458, something like that, as of this recording, which means another contest coming up probably early next week. I have them in my hands. The 420 Terminators. How about that? Win a set of those just by subscribing on YouTube, by liking videos, by subscribing. You can get a set of the 420 Terminators. I've been throwing Terminators. At League this week, I threw over a 7. My PPR is was a 5.4 going in. I was throwing over a 7 with Terminators. I can roll Terminators. If I can roll Terminators, like if you would have seen in Nate's live feed, only time I roll is usually down a hill, but I can roll with these bags. So they are ones that you need, and I'm doing pointing again. So if you can't win them, head over to a local bag company. It's going to be coming up in the bottom there. And get yourself some bags, local bags. They've helped my game out tremendously. And then you can play on some JC Cornhole boards. JCCornhole.com. He's right there. Going across. See, local bag is over here. JC Cornhole is right there. Then SierraHome.com. Go and check out Darren if you're in the Edmonton, Alberta area. Sherwood Park, to be exact, or you can send him a message on Facebook. Give him a like on Facebook. Sierra Property Inspections. Darren will help you find the perfect place to store your boards or do whatever. If you can ask him any questions you want about any kind of home inspection, home repair stuff. Darren will help you out with that. And then the newest, and probably make you the happiest, right there. Harris Beach Spirits, harrisbeachspirits.com. Get their Rye 51. It's good. This one's not open because I've got one going upstairs. That's all you need to know. You've always got to keep a spare just in case you need it. Josh does great stuff. Check him out. Be able to order it on, I think it's online. I've lost the site that you get it on. But you can get that and then get it into, if you're in Ontario, you can get it into the LCBOs. I'm not sure Canada-wide yet, just what's going on with that. But I know Josh will let us know, and I will let you know on the show here. That's it. That's all I've got. Let's talk some video games. Jersey Shore. That's it. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Jersey Shore. And then some cornhole. And just some all-around fun as they even take some viewer questions as well. So, without further ado, here is Jeremy and Joe, part of the Michigan Mob. And we are back here. And as promised, we've got one half of the number two doubles team in the ACL Pro Division right now. We had the other half, but he's gone. I'm not sure if he's been taken out or what. But, Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. 85 degrees in Michigan, which is insane because it was like 40 degrees 2 days ago. So I'm just loving it, enjoying it.
Well, I know you guys are almost the same weather we have here, and we're supposed to get snow next week. So that's just
enjoyable. Yeah, I think it's like Monday or Tuesday or whatever I've seen.
Exactly. So this is like we've actually been trying to get this on the show here. Well, you on the show for a little while now. We talked about a year or so ago, and now it's finally happened.
Heck yeah, I'm excited.
So the other thing, before Joe comes back in here, if he comes back in, we talked, you know, everyone's been talking about this ACL game. Finally, a pros are getting into a video game. I remember with my son talking here a little earlier this week, an ACL pro has been in a video game before.
Really?
And that would be you. Were you not in Fortnite?
Oh, yes, I was. Yes, I was.
You know, a while ago, yeah. It was like, because I remember when my son was playing, and he's like, they've got cornhole in Fortnite, and it was you.
Yep. That was, they were playing the, I think it was a 2019 kickoff battle.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was just before COVID started, and me and Derek had made it on our very first pro national and our very first pro season. And then, like, a week or two or whatever, 3 weeks later, someone had notified me that they were playing the whole broadcast or our match on the Fortnite inside the game. I'm like, what? So it was insane. It was pretty cool.
Actually, I guess everything happens to you because then you then get on MTV here this past year.
Yeah, that was something else, let me tell you.
Well, it's got your name out there, if not anything.
Yeah, so I don't really know. Like, so it was like a Tuesday, and you know, we all knew Mike Sorrentino was coming to play in the finals at the celebrity stuff, and I'm warming up with my court partner who I just met. I think she's from Kansas or somewhere around that area, Missouri. And we were warming up Tuesday, and I get these dings on my phone. I'm like, what the hell? And like, I'm not big into Twitter. Yet, I mean, I just, you know, I look at stuff that Trey posts or, you know, people from the ACL, whatever. So I get like this little cloud. I'm like, what is that? So like, I scrolled down and it said Angelina. And I'm like, all right, this is probably spam. Like, I get tons of that from that, you know, Instagram, whatever. So I looked at it and, you know, and it said, hey, you coming to NC? And then right then and there, like, I already knew something was fishy. Because we're in South Carolina for the World Championships, not, you know, North Carolina. So then, like, I just decided to message back, have a little fun, see where it went. And then, like, a couple messages later, I noticed that there was a blue check mark. I'm like, wait a minute. So I clicked on her profile, and sure enough, it was Angelina from the Jersey Shore, you know, TV series. And, you know, we're just talking about what's going on and whatnot, and, you know, met up with her. You've probably seen the TikTok video I made or someone you videoed me. So, you know, it was crazy. It was a weird experience, fun experience. Because, I mean, honestly, I've watched that show since it first came out when I was young. So, like, I know, you know, about their little reality stuff, their, you know, their comedic stuff, their arguing, you know, drama, all that. So it was fun to be part of that and actually meet them. I was really nervous After I saw the first part when Vinny was reading the DMs on one of the episodes, I was like, oh, great, here we go. And I kind of felt like maybe they were going to, like, poke fun at me, whatever. But I was like, all right, whatever. It is what it is. And they ended up not playing any of the clips, which, you know, it's cool, whatever. But just the whole experience was just insane. You know, Snooki butchering my name was, like, probably the icing on the cake.
Well, you know, like I said, it's getting that recognition out there. But yeah, so you said you did have Derek Singleton was your partner. So now this is the first year in here now with Joe as a partner?
Yes.
Yeah. So did you guys have like a connection before then or just kind of meeting up at different tournaments in Michigan?
He was freshly new. I think last year or a year and a half ago, he came onto the scene, you know, coming at regionals, and I'm like, man, who is this guy? And he played with one of my good friends from down there who doesn't really play much anymore, but it was, you know, they were pretty tight and they played together. And then like one regional, I played against him in singles, and boy, I think we went 25 plus rounds, and he ended up edging me like 21-18 or something like that. But the man, who is this guy? And, you know, year later, he's a pro, you know, we get to know each other a little bit better. And then he's with, you know, it was with Nico, and they had a good season. And then, you know, probably about a month before Worlds, he just kind of hit me up and said, hey, have you ever thought or you thinking about, you know, new partnership or anything for next season? And I was like, bro, like, for one, and it was just right after I won the Open, honestly, the Arizona Open. It was right after that. And he's like, I was like, honestly, I haven't really thought about it because I never thought, like, anybody was going to ask me. I thought it was just me and Derek going to ride it out and whatnot. And so I entertained it, and, you know, then it kind of just died out for a little bit. And then I think just after Worlds, he hit me up again and said, hey, you know, let's do this thing. And I'm like, I was just going back and forth for the longest time. And it was hard. It was like probably the hardest thing I had to like think about because, A, I was already going through personal stuff in my life with the divorce and all that. And then, two, thinking about, you know, breaking up with Derek, you know, it's like two relationships in a, you know, at the same time. And it was just hard because, you know, Derek's a solid player, but he doesn't have enough time right now or then to play as much as he used to. And it sucked because, I wanted to take my game to the next level. I knew I could, but the only way I could do it was make that hard choice and delete Derek. And so obviously, you know, I made the call after talking to a few people, and, you know, here we are, me and Joe, national number one runner-ups.
Exactly. And then you guys didn't do too bad when you're up here in Canada at this Open as well either.
Yeah, I mean, I've been struggling for probably a couple months back and forth, you know, just I'd have a few good games thinking like, all right, I'm back. And then the next game, midway through, I lose focus and I just lose it. So it's been like that for the last few months. And it happened in the Open. Doubles, it was up and down, rounders. I think we went 5-1. The bracket play, it was, you know, up and down again. And then, you know, I just kind of gassed out in that fourth or fifth place match. And, I mean, even having the singles, I was 2-0, shooting a 10-4 average. And then the third game, I played Brady Foster, and, you know, I was beating him. I was up 20-12, and I ended up just losing focus and just lost the game. And that was it.
Well, and you know, it's interesting you say that because I've always talked with so many people that cornhole is such a mental game. Everyone thinks it's so easy, but it's so easy to lose it that just that one little thing can happen. Just what's it like trying to or what have you done to try and get that mental side back when you think you may have lost it?
I keep trying to just pump myself up and say, hey, you know, you've beaten the top dogs, like you've beaten a lot of these guys. Why are you, you know, going into these matches nervous? One, I don't like to lose. Nobody likes to lose. Two, I don't like to underperform, and it happens a lot. And then I get in my head, you know, people even tell me, dude, you get in your head. So like, I just, I don't know. And then just being partners with Joe, having the, you know, caliber of talent he has, people hyping him up, and now obviously he's won the Canada Open singles. It's like I have a, you know, almost like a high mountain to climb to reach the expectation that you know, we should be a top 10 team. So that also adds pressure and makes me nervous. But, you know, lately he's been more loose with me. He's been like, dude, you know, let's just play and have fun. Screw it. Like, no pressure. Let's go out there. You know, there's going to be other tournaments. You know, we got four nationals. We got worlds. We got other opens, shootouts, you name it. Like, let's just go out there, have fun, and just see how it goes. And that's exactly what we did this past Saturday in Texas. And it just worked out. And it's crazy, but it just worked.
And speaking of Joe, looks like he is.
I'm going to try this again.
He's now back. He's now back here. He's got
Yeah, I want to run the building. See, we'll see if this works.
So, Joe, we were just kind of talking with Jeremy there about how, you know, are you guys kind of getting together? And he said you were kind of on him after Worlds and out there. What did you see in Jeremy that you wanted to partner up with him?
Oh, I mean, there was a lot of things. I mean, I knew he was a really good player. We always played at regionals and stuff. We always had like really, really tough battles. I knew his skill set was there. And I knew he was someone that I could have fun with too. So, and chemistry really, it plays a huge, huge factor, especially when you get on the big stage. And like I said, he lived like 15, 20 minutes away. So we could get all that practice in, we can get the reps in that we needed to, and we could travel around. We could make all these plans together and, you know, travel together. And, you know, there's a lot of, like chemistry building that can be there. So, and kind of like I was saying, like we could play like states and regionals and, local tournaments, and, you know, we'll have all those reps in that, you know, partners that, you know, partner out of state, they don't get those, you know, like, for example, like Jordan and Jay, like they only play, you know, maybe a few times a year together in nationals and maybe shootouts and stuff. So I knew that, like, I didn't really want to go with anybody out of state. And in general, like, I wanted to do it for my area. I wanted to do it for Michigan. I wanted to do it for the folks back home. And I think, you know, that means more to me, you know, winning it with, you know, a buddy from back home than just snagging somebody from out of state too.
I know for me, I've always been the guy that says that you need the chemistry. Like you can have those super teams where the two top guys will get, or female players or two top players, regardless, will get together and you can have a strong team. But I think that whole chemistry, and the one thing I kept hearing from a lot of people on the weekend when you guys were up in Canada, that some people that didn't know about you guys was like, they all thought you guys have been partners forever.
Yeah.
Just the way that you guys have kind of carried on and were just kind of, you know, and I always felt that with my partners, that you have to have that belief in, like, the person on the other end of the board is going to come through, right? It's that confidence in that player. Is that kind of the same thing that you guys are thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you build that chemistry and you understand, you know, the other guy's game with just those reps, you know, and like we practice all the time together. Like I said, we go to regionals together, all the local reps, like all of that adds up to where, you know, we've only been partnered for a few months, but, you know, it feels like I've been partnered with him for a year, you know, and I feel super comfortable. I mean, I'm sure he feels the same way, but like we both know our game, you know, and that matters a lot in doubles for sure.
You kind of got the same thing, Jeremy?
Oh, absolutely. He nailed it. I mean, when he's at the other end of the board, I'm like, I know what I'm going to get. And it's, you know, I'm going to give him the nickname, you know, Mr. 10 Joe. Like, he just throws 10s. And I'm like, man, 12. I was joking with him. I was joking with him Saturday. It's like, bro, you better start throwing 12s, or I'm just going to, you know, forfeit this shit. Like, I'm done with it.
Well, there was a couple times where on the live feed there, Jeremy, it looked like you were surprised that Joe actually threw a roll bag a couple times.
You talking about Saturday?
I think it was I'm not sure if it was the team's event on the Friday night where you guys kept me from going out for supper till like late because you just didn't want to finish a game. But just kind of, you know, that it was just that whole camaraderie that you guys have was just fun.
Oh yeah, if we keep playing the way we played Saturday, it's gonna be hard to beat us. I mean, and I'm not trying to be cocky, but like, we were just gelling. We were just having a good time. Like, if we lost, we lost. If we won, great. Like, and I told him going into the broadcast, is like, yo, win or lose, like, we did this thing. First national together, we made it here. Final two, but let's do this. Like, let's get it. But unfortunately, we came up short. But we just had a great freaking time all day.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we weren't even really that bummed that we lost. We're like, we're just happy to make it there. And, we were drinking, having fun, talking smack. And it just, it's different. It's a different vibe. It's a lot more fun when you're loose, when you're comfortable. And it's a whole different game.
Well, exactly. Saturday, I seen the second time that Jeremy kind of picked you up after a game. Will we be seeing you giving picking up Jeremy after a game?
I don't know. I'm going to the gym, but I don't know about that. I don't know if that's coming soon. I don't know if that's we'll see. I don't want to try mid game and then look like an idiot and drop him.
Injured both of us.
Well, I think
screw up my shoulder, screw up my back.
Well, speaking of like throwing stuff out, so I got to talk with Glenn McNutt here earlier today, and I was saying, hey, do you mind if I talk about that shot that Joe tried in the teams event final when you kind of went between the legs and almost hit the airmail?
And one, almost hit the and one, yeah. I got some trick shot videos on TikTok. I've hit the roll between the legs. I've hit some airmails and ones between the legs. I try to practice the trick shots just to there's only so many times you can sit there and just practice and throw a four in the hole and before it kind of gets boring. It just adds a little flavor to the game.
So, Jeremy, you going to be okay if he tries that at a national and a final?
If he does that on the broadcast, I'll run around that place just hooting and hollering. I'll pick him up.
But what if I make it? Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Like, I might go grab two beers and just stone cold stun them things right on live.
Oh, someone's parking right here.
Well, and that was the thing, like, even people even kind of laughed at you, Jeremy, there. One time, I think you missed one bag, and I think you threw a nine, and then you started doing push-ups in the corner.
I told them to run laps. I told them to give me five laps. The push-ups weren't enough.
Didn't I, like, throw it short or something?
Yeah. I think you should throw it short of the board. Yeah. Push-ups. I told you to start working out.
Then you don't want to have me as a part of them, because up here that's called a corn dog, because I can only throw 26 feet. But no, and then even just it's not just you guys kind of interacting with yourselves during the game, the way you guys get the crowd involved as well, because I know we had a few people up here at the open that just, especially the Friday night at the teams, because it was so kind of a relaxed atmosphere there, they had fun kind of going back and forth with you. I don't know if it was trying to get you off your game, but just having fun with the crowd. Is that, I think that's what we need more in cornhole.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that, it is tough. I mean, we got our own kind of thing going on, but it'd be tough to get, other teams on board with that, but yeah. I like it, Thanks.
So I've got a couple questions here from some players up here in Canada that had it, and one was from one of the guys who you did talk with during the game, both of you guys, Steve James, who's a great guy, he likes to have fun. I'm surprised that Alin must have took the leash off and let him talk during that Friday night, but his one thing was, just for you, Joe, is that he just thought it was, he was asking, it was a way of you to be able to concentrate. And it's almost like you kind of stop and you don't even look at the other guy throwing, like when while he throws, because you kind of have your head down. Is that just one of your ways of trying to concentrate and trying to know what you want to throw?
So if you know me, yeah, everything I do is calculated. Everything I do is for a reason. I'm sure Jeremy's probably smiling. Yeah, so like just looking down, it kind of resets you. Sometimes I'll take a couple bag flips. I'm trying to not get in my opponent's rhythm. Timing plays a lot into it, into your throw, into their throw. And there's some psychology tricks and some timing tricks that I practice. And yeah, I guess that would be one of them. Yeah. Watch their bag go in. And then I try and look down and reset and go at my pace. And then there's sometimes that I'll actually, you know, I'll reset and then speed up. You know, I might speed up for a couple rounds, slow down for a couple rounds, and sometimes, you know, messing with the opponent's timing could force a couple misses and, you know, give me a couple big rounds. So, yeah, I mean, everything is calculated.
And then this one, I know Jeremy, you can take this one, then Joe, you can kind of respond as well too. Just from Corey Ewart, he was asking if you could share some keys to developing as a newly formed doubles partnership, just based on your experiences. Just kind of, you know, what are some of the keys that you guys have been able to kind of bring in to get your success here so far? And now Jeremy's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak for him, but, yeah, I would say just getting reps in, getting to know your partner, getting to know their shot, getting to know their game, what shots they're comfortable with, what shots they're not comfortable with. And then building that trust. I feel like trust is huge in doubles. I mean, I've seen a lot of players, you know, they'll call one thing on the other side and the player doesn't throw it. They're like, all right, set a block, and they shoot the airmail anyways. It's like you have to believe in each other. You have to trust in each other. And I feel like that comes with reps, with timing, with putting the work in, and just practicing together. And over time, I feel like that chemistry builds. But, you know, it can't be faked. You know, it can't be manufactured. So you just got to build that over time, get the reps in, and just practice.
Okay. And then the last one I had was for you. It was from Keaton Carey McLeod. And I will answer this for you because he says, why didn't you take it easier on the Canadian in the final of the swap? Keaton, suck it up. You lost. That's all I'm going to say.
No, so, and that's another thing is like it's tough to take it easy on anybody. Like you almost can't let up because in cornhole, you know, like I've seen some crazy stuff happen. I've won and I was down 20-0, you know, and my opponent gave me an inch and I took a mile. So, yeah, momentum can switch really fast. So, it's tough. It's tough to kind of let up the gas.
Yeah, so I think Jeremy's going to come back in here. But what did, you know, coming up to Canada here, was it what you expected, or did kind of some of the players up here kind of exceed your expectations?
There was a few that stood out, especially in the teams event. The guys that we played in the finals, they shot pretty good. They were giving us a really good battle. And before I kind of just knew, you know, Brandon Brown and, you know, maybe a couple others. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely some shooters up there. But I mean, there's, you know, a lot of top shooters that came up also, so.
Exactly, because I think a lot of our guys go over and play in probably one of your spots. There's kind of talking about that, how it's that's a fun place to get to.
What was that? Sorry, I lagged out for a second.
Oh, no, just some of our players that are in kind of in the Windsor area, kind of are head over to Great Shots as well. So they get to play with some of the players you get to play against a lot as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And just at Great Shots, there's a few really good kids that are coming up that are just, you know, taking the game by storm. And they're playing for like 6 months and they're hitting roll bags and air mails and they have perfectly flat bags. And it's like, shoot, that took me like 5 years. But the talent level there is awesome. It's, you know, so some of the best players in the state are up there. So for any Canadians that wanna to venture out, some of the regionals are like, they're insane. They're like 150 players, 160 players, sometimes close to 200. They have to split it up throughout days. And if you want to get better, you got to play against the better talent. So, any of the Canadians that want to come up, Great Shots, definitely the place to go.
So, Jeremy, I kind of asked Joe if coming up here to Canada to play at the Open, if your kind of expectations of what you were going to get here were kind of, did some of the players that you may have seen from Canada kind of exceed those expectations of what you thought you might have got up here?
Yeah, there was a few players that I didn't really, know of. And I seen, Connor Weiss. I don't think I ever heard that name. But, we played him, I think, rounders or maybe in the bracket. And I'm like, all right, him and his partner are shooting pretty well. Canada's, when they started, 3 years ago, whatever, there was only a handful, and now you guys are exploding. And so I really didn't know, what to expect or who's the, good shooters, but, they definitely were, up there. On my radar. So.
Yeah, definitely. Like the two guys that you guys played in the final of the teams, Glenn McNutt and Dave Dunlop, they just bowl through everybody up here at conferences. And we've got another conference coming up here in a couple weeks, so I'm expecting them to do the same thing again. But it's just kind of up here, almost every tournament now, there's somebody new coming out, which is probably the same you guys would have had like, 5-6 years ago, but kind of because we're that little bit behind. But it's just, it's all these young players, and two young players you guys had on your team's event, Jaden and Eric, were just throwing fire as well.
Yeah, Jaden and Evan, yeah, we knew.
Probably Evan.
We knew what they could do before. Jaden's one of the, if not one of the top kids in the world. And Evan's right there with them. There's a couple others I can name, Tim Burton Jr. or Timmy Bochatten. You're going to see his name, Brandon Earls. You're going to see his name. There's some really good kids that are coming up that are, you're going to see them in a couple of years on the main stage on ESPN. They're just so solid. And I feel like that stems from, the pros that we have and playing against good talent and, how much Michigan and, the surrounding areas, have developed the game and all that. So, really good players.
Well, you guys are lucky that I'm no longer in the Great Lakes Conference, because I shared a thing a little while ago that, the week three of the 2018 season, I was like third in the Great Lakes Conference for like a week. But if that didn't last long. But yeah, because I was thinking, because Canada was actually in the Great Lakes Conference before we became our own conference. So it's we've kind of come a long way, but I want to thank you both for doing this, because I know you guys got some other stuff that's going on there, but hopefully I will be able to see you at Great Shots and have some fun there.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And, good luck the rest of the season. I know you guys are, as I said off the top, number two team in the ACL Pro Division. And I think it's only a matter of time before you guys are number one.
Pennsylvania, baby, you on the clock.
And also just one last thing from the players in Newfoundland. They want you to go to our next Canadian Open in Newfoundland in June. So I'm not sure if you guys want to get there, because I know it's the George Street there has the most bars per capita of any street anywhere. So it's we may not make it to Cornhole.
Sounds like a place where Jim said.
Again, thank you guys for doing this here, and we will we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having us.
And I want to thank Joe and Jeremy for coming on talking like that. A lot of great stuff because, as I said on the talking with them, a lot of people don't know that they are just a brand new team. The way that they communicate and just relate to each other, I think is just it's like they've been together for a while. So I think some big things are coming to them. I know they are at the Michigan State Championships this weekend. I am heading to Michigan. I won't get there this weekend to their state championship. But yeah, best of luck to them. The other thing I didn't mention at the top. This weekend, Platinum members, register for the second ACL Canada Open in St. John's, Newfoundland. It's going to be fun. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know Sean and Amber have a bunch of stuff lined up that's going to be on the side. I'm going to be down there all week leading up to the Open, doing live stuff and having some fun. So register for that. Then head to Facebook. Tell your friends, go to Facebook, like and follow on the Facebook page, and then tell everyone else to come here and check this out. And like, share, and subscribe, and you could win, once the contest comes up, 420 Terminator bags. Get your fill bags. So yeah, so if you're playing cornhole anywhere, just go and have some fun. All you need to do is just have some fun, and then you can, like myself, throw sevens. I even had Nettie Burgess. You've seen it. I had an 11 PPR through two rounds.